Hey, listener. This podcast contains some sensitive things that may or may not trigger you in a certain way. So, listener discretion is advised.
Test.
There we go. Okay. All right, we start the recording in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you guys?
We hope you're doing good.
Yes, the weather is lovely.
Yes, the weather is lovely. We upped and fucked off again for another month.
I think at this point we can just formally tell the listeners that hey, instead of a weekly episode, we have a monthly episode.
Or even we don't know when we're gonna upload. It's like Mentor Pecah, one of the podcasts by Buzaki. He uploads if and when he wants it.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes he just rolls on with the episodes and then you never know when your episode comes out. So I think this is probably going to be the case. We have built a substantial amount of followers who have probably left us.
Yeah.
And now we are just here scraggling on who's left.
Actually ni short sendiri je.
Yeah.
This project short sendiri je project ni.
Siapa suruh tunggu?
Bukan. But then the funny thing is, if you Google Donola Podcast or Donola, it comes out our podcast.
We don't even have to do SEO. SEM, all that marketing shit. Nah man, 100% organic, number one.
Dun dun dun.
You can pay your employees fuck ton of money just to pay you to just to do SEO shit, to answer the public on what keywords we should use.
Yeah.
Fuck that, guys. Donola Podcast doesn't have to do that. Just put Donola and you'll find us on the top. Top of the front page.
And we haven't even released our TikTok videos yet.
No.
Imagine.
We have a fuck ton from episode 40 onwards.
Imagine, guys.
By the way, guys, we gave up on making videos at episode 50 because our mount broke. So we never had videos since episode 50. So all the videos that you see are episode 40 onwards.
Yeah.
So that'll be very interesting to see how we pop up in the algorithm, because we're trying to be really subtle about it. I think the word subtle is quite good to use here, where nobody knows where this comes from, and suddenly don't know about us. You know,
we're not what's the Jake Paul one? Insanity. The podcast. Jake Paul, right?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember which one it was, but
I mean, they have Jake Paul has a podcast.
Yes, he has
a
podcast. Yeah. So where he's a dick about it.
Yeah. So for us, we're not sponsored. We're not getting paid. We're not doing this for money.
We don't have
money.
Prime energy, you know.
We don't have Prime.
Yeah, we don't have Prime.
So we don't have a schedule.
No, we don't.
So if you want us to have a schedule,
if we ever find a sponsor that just goes hey, we'll pay you, but just do whenever lah. You know, that'd be great, man.
Apparently, cause I use the data to create a
sponsorship deck. Yeah.
And I've been approaching all these massage parlors and shit.
Have they been keen?
Apparently they first of all, they don't have the money. Second of all,
no money.
It's not that they don't have the money, it's that they don't want to spend the money on this
sponsorship,
And secondly, they don't want to be promoted.
Guys, come and get your B2B massage at Fire Volcano Massage in Kelana Jaya.
The branding marketing person in me is obviously it's not a good target, right?
Of course not.
Good target for sponsorship. Because
the target market that we'll get is 40-year-olds to 50-year-olds who are looking for love.
Or
trying to get away from their wives who are not sexy anymore.
Yeah.
Right? And also, they don't listen to things like this because it's just pretty much to them, it's teenage angst.
Yeah.
Right? Millennial angst. Yeah. They're not millennials. They're Gen X's, right? So they won't listen to us. They'll be these millennials
For the branding person and marketing person in me, it's basically why do we have to go for these people when we won't get anything out of them?
Yeah.
But the chaotic person in me is just keep trying, as it
one I only want chaos.
We only need one of them.
Yeah, one of them. One of them to come in and say, yeah, I'm willing to tell you about B2B.
Yeah.
Not business to business, but body to body.
Yeah, and
I,
then...
I got a girl that's fucking good at, like, cat leg massages. Her name is number 42. Number 42 is our best seller, so why don't you just promote her and use the code come on me on our WhatsApp. You know WhatsApp Captain? You WhatsApp the captain and then just put come on me. And he instantly knows it's number 42 that you want.
Yeah.
Right? And every different girl, number 45, number 32, will all have different codes.
Yeah.
Which we will promote at a later date.
Exactly.
Right? And depending on the demand that they want. So whoever that potential massage parlor is, we don't care whether you're in Semenye ke, you're in Johor ke, you are in... where else is susceptible to all these massage parlors?
Ampang.
Ampang, yeah, if you're not
actually,
in Ampang.
The Pandan Indah and Pandan Jaya areas lah.
Surprisingly a lot, is it?
Bro, like, they have... Like, there's this one, right? Like, there's this one kopitiam that I used to go... Like, I usually go to like for lunch.
Yeah.
They have... one massage parlor, and you know it's like dodgy as shit because you can see like the girls go out for lunch and everything,
of
right? And like they don't give a shit, they'll wear what they were wearing inside,
of course.
So there'll be like nightgowns with lingerie underneath, and then they'll just go to nearby areas, and no one gives a shit because they know where they work.
It's like, so I'm gonna go see her in a bit.
So there's one shop there, there's the kopitiam in the middle, and then another shop next to it.
Ooh, wow.
That's how that's how saturated the Pandan Indah Pandan Jaya market is for like naughty massages.
The one that I find really...
And there's no signboard at the shops, so you know how dodgy it is.
Yeah, that's the one where you go like, am I going to die here or not?
Yeah.
Or at any point of time, will the cops just raid the place?
Yeah.
You just know for a fact that every time you go in there, you're like, okay, I'm going to have a good time. But I'm living on the edge. Like, every fucking second I'm in there, every press that she does on my body, at any point of time when I turn around,
there's gonna be a cop standing there.
There's gonna be a cop standing there. At any point of time.
Yeah.
But because I'm a dangerous person and I live and I have enough money to bribe the cops, I'll just be here.
I'll just enjoy my naughty massage.
Here is the one thing that I realized on my when I was a connoisseur when I was single.
Of naughty massages.
Yeah. It's like I'm a man of culture, right? Obviously, you have to share all this cultural stuff with everybody. In Malaysia, this is one of the cultures that they don't share.
Because and it's more fun in Malaysia because it's illegal.
Yes.
If you go to Singapore, there's that red light district where prostitution is legal.
The four floors of horrors.
Yeah.
Orchard Towers.
So it's legal. Prostitution is legal there.
Yeah.
So anyone can just like go in without any hesitation, like any repercussions. Over here, you have to like, oh, I'm living on the edge.
And it depends now, that especially now it's post-COVID, right?
Yeah.
Like, things are more expensive. It was way cheaper back then.
Yeah.
The one thing I realized that I found that was amazingly the edgiest.
Yeah.
And following forums and stuff like that, obviously, because you gotta like do your research, you know. One of the places that I found really that really amazed me was in USJ. In Taipan.
Okay.
There is a massage parlor that used to be full of PRCs.
Uh-huh.
Some of them were okay. You get hits and misses.
Yep.
But they were not bad. And it was exactly at the opposite, located opposite of a police station. And that's when you know these guys in Taipan, if you get robbed, you're probably just going to sit there and wait for the report to never come out.
Yeah,
because these guys are just there like, we don't care.
Yeah,
like we've got who the fuck thinks about like opening a massage parlor that is way illegal than it should be right next to a police station?
Does it make sense? SS2 one.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah, it was right next to the Balai Police.
And you think the law system in Malaysia is like amazing?
Okay, I'll just give you an example. The pirated DVD shops at SS2 last time.
Right.
Bro, like there will be like four on the same row.
Right next to
the police station.
And nobody cares.
And
no one gives a shit. Because everybody knows over here it's like a sustainable thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like we need to make money. Right, you have money to give me every month that I can earn extra, and nobody needs to know about whatever the fuck you're doing.
Yeah, I would say though, I would say I do miss the old days where like they weren't any streaming services,
right?
right? And you had to go, you still had a DVD player.
Uh-huh.
And you still had to go to all these places and shop for DVDs.
Yes. And then you need to try your luck and see whether the CDs that they burned were some stupid shit.
And you
or
could
what.
Test them out, and you had like, you had reliable DVD sellers where they, if you did, if it wasn't up to your standards, you could return it.
Oh yes, yes, yes. My that was really good. And I remember back then DVDs were like 9 ringgit, and it was considered premium already at that point of time, right? And because then, CDs were like 5 or 10.
And then you would see like all the ballers come in and drop like 100, 200,
and they get stacks and stacks of DVDs. And I'm like, wow, this guy.
But I also like the sense of surprise and enjoyment when you've been hearing about this certain series on the news, right? And then you see the box set at the shop,
and you're like,
yeah,
I want it.
Yeah. So then you buy it and then you watch it, lah.
Yeah, correct. I mean, those were the days, right? Those were the days. It's the same. I mean, what we're talking about in terms of like B2B massages, it's the same.
It's the same.
It's the same. Exactly. Gone were the days of. Do you know that in porn sites nowadays, uh-huh, they have places where they review fucking massage parlors and TikTok even.
Oh really?
Like you go to Thailand, they will bring you to this place and say like, oh, this girl's the one of the best girls in the place. They do it very subtly, but if you know, uh-huh, right? It's the kind of videos where you go like,
This one.
I think if I go Thailand,
I've never seen any
know.
Of them.
Somehow it targeted me for a period of time, so I saw it and I was like, oh, so now I know some places in Thailand I can go to get a happy ending massage, but obviously I won't because I love my girlfriend very much.
Cheongsters is still the best place to look for reviews.
Still is.
But okay, so for people who are going, who hear this word, it's like Cheongsters, right? So Cheongsters is a, it's a forum or it's a website.
Did they start off with Laoyat first?
They started off with like a blog.
Okay.
So it started off with a blog. It was basically people just reviewing massage parlors and who are the best girls, and some even have pictures, right?
But then some only, not all,
because you have to be subtle about it and you have to be private about it. But then it got cracked down because it was supporting prostitution. Mm-hmm. So now what these Cheongsters people did, they created a website where in order for you to enter, you have to either, one, be introduced by someone who is already in the Cheongster community,
mm-hmm,
or two, pay 300 ringgit to get verified.
Oh, yes. I remember. I vaguely recall this, where you have to have a special password that you have to pay for, right? You email them and say like, hey, I want a password to see, have exclusive access to this and to see pictures and stuff like that. Like to see real pictures and not the fake pictures. I vaguely remember this.
So, but Cheongsters will always be the ultimate website to know where the best places are, and to know what the rates are, and to know which one's the best.
It's
basically like places that you've never heard of,
mm-hmm,
but it's just well known within the Chonging community.
Yes. Oh my gosh, you bring back so much so much shit for me, like, oh my god, Chonging and stuff like that. You see in Laoyat, and then you're like, oh yeah, why are you Cheongster? Is it?
Yeah.
And then you're like, then you go and research about Cheongsters, and then you're like, oh, these guys.
Yeah.
These guys.
So it's fun, like, it's a fun small, it's not really small, love. It's a big community.
It's a big community.
Yeah, and that's how all these massage parlors can survive.
Yes.
Because of us Cheongers.
And also, the rate of the turnover rate is quite high.
Quite high.
So you get new experiences all the time. Yeah. I mean, you don't just stick to one.
You know why the turnover rate is quite high, right?
Why?
So basically, like, when it's end of the month, and so all these massage parlors, they'll be like, because the girls live inside the massage parlors.
Yeah.
So accommodation is provided.
Yeah.
Food and basic necessities are provided, but mm-hmm, there's also a salary.
Yeah.
So nanti the bosses, madams or whatever, they'll be like, oh, this week, this month, no money lah. So they will stagger, or like not really stagger lah, like just withhold payment for like 3 months, right? And at the end of the 3 months,
mm-hmm,
when the girls are getting like really, really pissed off because they're not getting paid,
They rate lah. Then they're like, okay, we send you back home.
Yeah.
No money. Nobody says that this labor is going to be a good labor.
It definitely does not fit human rights laws.
Obviously.
Human rights regulations.
When you see this, you're like,
holy, what the fuck?
What the fuck? This is happening now? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So, yes. Culture, guys. This is the unseen culture in Malaysia.
So now you guys know.
Yeah, and speaking of which, actually, I thought about it off the top of my head.
Yes.
Why don't we approach Cheongster instead of like going to these B2B massage parlors?
They're really private, bro.
Damn.
Like really, really, really private.
Damn. Yeah. Damn.
Because they have to protect their community.
Fair enough.
And they do a really good job at protecting and like the privacy of the community.
Yeah, yeah, they do. They do. They do. I mean, you have to pay 300 ringgit.
Yeah, 300 just to get the password, and then when you're inside, then you have like other things that you have to do to like prove that you're a real chongster.
So if you're not in this community, you will never know what happens within the community, right? Somehow you just you start with Mr. Yang B2B, right? Mr. Yang like has updates from like 2012, and you're like, what the fuck is this? And then you get this and that other website. I can't remember what's the name of the website, but fuck that. And then you get chongsters.
Yeah. Right? So there's there are three communities or three types of businesses. Senang cerita, there's three types of businesses in Malaysia right now for sex. So there's the typical massage parlors that you go to who offer you like, hey, do you want extra? Pay me 100 bucks and I'll give you a hand job.
Yeah.
Two, there are like the actual hidden massage parlors that offer sex, right?
Oh, those are very risky places to go to, man.
Yeah. And three, call girl services.
Call girl services, which are the most premium services.
Those are the premium services.
Yeah, those are the premium services. Yeah,
so prices can start from like 350 to like wherever.
1,000 to 4,000. I think I vaguely remember seeing one that was up to about 3,000 to 4,000.
Yeah.
But that was like a full day package.
Full day, full night
where
package.
She, where she acts as a girlfriend for you.
Yes.
You can do whatever the fuck you want with her for the whole day. And then next day, that's over.
So there are also, because of these three businesses, these three types of commerce and like sex, there's also three types of communities.
Yes.
Yeah. The casual community who just like tries their luck at like all these massage parlors.
Yeah.
Like they fucking go to hammam in public car.
And then it's like, oh my God.
Don't ask for a hand job.
Okay, so for those people who actually want to go into this kind of stupid shit, right? Like I mean, we don't do it anymore. But like if you're interested to do it, don't go to a shopping mall that is like well known to everybody to not have anything even close to what you think you want. And then you go there and go like, hey, this one, the girl give blowjob. Don't do that.
Fucking hilarious.
Don't do that. Don't be stupid.
Don't be stupid.
Because all you're going to do is waste your money and just have a good massage. And that's not what you want.
Yeah.
Right? You come out feeling great, but then your little brother is like, what about me?
Those are the casual communities. They go to random massage places and then they ask for like, what extra services do they offer? Sometimes they get kicked out, sometimes they don't.
Sometimes they just go, no. And then you just walk away disappointed.
Then the second community is basically the ones who chong lah.
Yeah, the chong.
Right.
Yeah.
They know the best places, they know where to go, they know the passwords, they know the mummies, the madams, they know which girl is great.
They know when the raids happen so you don't go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the best community.
The best community you can ever be a part of.
Yeah.
The third one is basically the atas people lah, the corporate companies, the bosses.
The ones who bring clients.
Yeah, bring clients, you know. Like if let's say like I want to strike up a business deal with this this tycoon from Bangkok or like Japan,
bring
them here, send a girl to there.
I've got a Japanese girl who I pay 1,000 ringgit, nothing much.
It's boring. It's a very, very boring community.
Very boring. Very boring.
And but, it's not even a community.
But exotic girls,
premium service.
And it depends on what budget you are having. So let's say you only have like 300 bucks, then you know you got your Sabahans, your Indonesians, your Vietnam, Thailand.
But I can honestly say that you will see all the Malays in the third community.
Yes.
Yeah, because Malays are a commodity. Malay sex workers.
Commodity, okay.
Yeah, so Malay sex workers are a commodity, right? They're rare. But when you can find them, it's another experience altogether.
And surprisingly, if you depending on their experience, their value depreciates.
Yes.
So just pick your choose lah. You want to go for the 300 one because you feel cheap that day, then be prepared to be disappointed lah.
Yeah.
I'm just being like telling you guys from experience for those who want to do it. By the way, guys, from minute two to minute 18, trigger warning.
But there's also the DS community for Twitter.
Itu lain.
Yeah, so those are call freelancers.
Yeah, itu lain.
So got slot.
Got slot. And also like be prepared to be disappointed lah.
Yes.
Because I follow all rejected Malaysian memes and upper gang DS buat hari ni, all these pages, and then you kind of look at them, you're like, wow, value really dropped here since the last time they had DSs. Back then they used to be like not bad. Now it's like, what the fuck? Like, have we stooped this low? But I don't know. Like, I digress, right? So like, it's up to you lah. If you like what you see on the DS and you feel like, oh, maybe this is value for money and like I'm just here there for a cheap fuck, fuck it. Just go for it, man. I'm like, and we're not stopping you. You do you, boo boo. You do you, boo boo.
Yeah. So happy Saturday and welcome to the Donola podcast. That was literally our intro.
You'll never get this anywhere else. That is why we're on the front page on the fucking internet, guys. You go to Baidu, you put Donola Podcast, maybe we're there. You go to Safari, you put Donola Podcast, of course we'll be there.
DuckDuckGo, confirm.
Confirm. Confirm. As usual, your usual culprits are Henry and Hazi.
Yes.
We have not been here for a while because we've been on and off about stuff with work, right? But I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, let's not talk about work.
Yeah, let's not talk about work because I think both of us are in agreement that we are both not having a good time at work.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a talk last week when we had a friend's wedding. Oh, by the way, he's one of our listeners.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes, hi, Zarif. Congratulations again. Yes. Baby quick.
Yes, congratulations, Zarif. I hope you did something in Maldives. Speaking of that, right?
Speaking of Maldives.
No, not speaking of Maldives. Speaking of family planning.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about that, right? Banshee has a friend who planned. She is what I believe is called a by-the-books person. And it's amazing that things went their way.
Okay.
Because I think in this context, if things don't go their way, it's like kind of like, fuck. This is like very bad. Okay. Right?
What happened?
Like catastrophe. So she planned everything where I planned my marriage.
Yeah.
I planned when I can save up for this. I planned when I can save up for that. Blah, 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 blah. So she put out a timeline, right? To get married in 2021, she got married in 2021, have fun from 2022 to 2023 where she earns that much money. She has achieved earning that much money, and by 2023, she has planned to conceive by 2023 on a specific date.
Yeah.
And she has.
Wow.
And I'm like, that is what I call peak Chinese shit. You can never get efficient family planning from any other race in the country except for the fucking Chinese people, because they are like fucking organized and they went, I want my baby to come out this year. I want it to be the year of a dragon because I want a dragon baby.
Yep, yep.
I need a dragon baby and I need to conceive by this date based on the Chinese calendar, or not, it will still be a rabbit baby. Because the Chinese calendar changes like every two years, right? It's either January or February when the new year comes in. And she has planned it in the sense that by March of 2024, the kid's out. And I'm like, wow, that is fucking amazing family planning. Can you imagine if you miss by just one date and you're just there like, go to the husband's like, fuck you lah, your fault lah. I told you already, wear condom on this day. I told you this is the time I'm fucking fertile. Now you see, my child's gonna be a rabbit baby, you know. What are you gonna do? Bounce around jobs? Stupid.
I don't want a rabbit baby.
I don't want a rabbit baby because my son's stupid. How? Your fault now, you deal with it. This child is a failure.
And then they try again and actually get a dragon baby.
Yeah.
But then the dragon baby is like
retarded.
And the rabbit baby is a genius.
Yeah, and the rabbit baby is
but was given no motherly love.
Yes. Oh. Then he starts a podcast and says, my mother never loved me. But look at me, I'm not successful. Is this a story of Genie Boy? No.
It's adapted into a Korean drama.
Oh my god. And then you see this Ajuma, who's the evil Ajuma.
And then you see a cameo by the retarded dragon baby.
Who's now homeless. Because
was disowned.
Yeah, it's disowned because he was a useless dragon baby.
Yeah. But then the useless dragon baby, because he was disowned, had other useful life skills. So he's retarded, but he's still on the higher spectrum of retardation.
He's a high functioning retard.
High functioning retard. So then, like, he's good. He's not good with like life skills.
No.
But he's good with like his hands. So like he can invent stuff and build stuff.
He's a master crafter.
Yeah. Oh. Like, master crafter. So then the genius dragon baby looks for his brother to take down the mother.
Ooh. Oh. Brother, we need to work together. but mom loves me
no,
more.
No, no. Brother, we need to work together.
Trigger warning, 24 minutes. Starts building Lego for no reason.
I need you to build me a machine. Yeah, yeah, that machine. Trigger warning.
Finally defeats the mother. We did it, brother.
Then there's a monologue by the mother lah, to the kids lah. I've learned the error of my ways. You should, mother.
Bro, what the fuck? We just saw our friend do something weird in the car. Okay.
So yeah.
So nothing about work.
Okay? Nothing about work.
But family planning. Congratulations again, Zarif.
Yes.
We hope you and Elda have a very, very good wedding. Honestly speaking, I have to give my kudos to Zarif and Elda.
Yeah.
In how they ran their wedding, because I thought it was one of the most organized Malay weddings I've ever been.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
Complete with the dance floor
that unfortunately did not do itself justice because nobody was there.
Yeah.
Except for Zarif and Elda, right? Which I strongly support.
And
right?
The weird white friend.
And the weird white friend, yes. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about that bit. I'm sorry, Zarif, but we have to pick a little bit. Okay. So let's do a little quick rating on why I said this Malay wedding was one of the best I've ever attended. Okay, number one, it was in Concord Hotel.
Yep.
Okay. Number two, contrary to how Malay weddings would have been, where you had everybody from the whole fucking kampong come and like visit the place, and then you have a weird DJ and somewhere too. It was a complete different setting. Right? Yep. Nice Concord Hotel, nice. Number of people who were there was just nice. Right? And I was like, wow, there's a limit to a Malay wedding.
Yep.
I never knew that. Yep. Right? Food was wow, right? Concord Hotel, 9-course. I don't know how much you spent on that one, but Zarif, hats off to you guys.
Food
was amazing.
But I have to say, I think it's a stereotype.
Nope.
Stereotype as in like...
This setting is a stereotype.
This whole... how the wedding was properly planned, the food was great, the venue was great.
Uh-huh.
The timing and the number of guests was great, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
But this is a stereotype for atas Johorians.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Atas Johorians.
Okay.
I've never been to a bad atas Johorian wedding.
Okay, so I will trust you on that because you lived in Johor a lot longer than I do.
Because my family is Johorian, and we know a lot of like atas all people. These atas Johorians lah.
Yeah.
So it's basically like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very well organized. Small. Yep. Right.
Intimate. Good food.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was really amazing, like. Everyone dressed for the occasion. Yeah. It was really fun to be at. And this was the first Malay wedding I've ever stayed until the end. From 12 o'clock all the way to like 4 o'clock.
Yep,
wow, this is the first Malay wedding that I've actually stayed.
Yep,
it's the first Malay wedding that Wan Chi never fucking complained in the last 2 years. Because obviously Wan Chi is a typical China girl, so she doesn't go to all these Malay weddings or like different cultural weddings except for Chinese weddings. So she's very well known into all these Chinese weddings, how organized it should be, how many people there should be and stuff like that. So for her, this is uncharted territory, and we have been to 2 weddings together, and we've seen kind of enough to get a barometer of how it should go and how what we should expect. And I think Wan Chi was very much taken aback in a good way, right? That it's like, oh, this is actually not bad. Like,
she should experience typical Malay kampung weddings.
Oh, I plan to bring her to one.
Typical Malay Johor kampung weddings. Oh. The ones with the silat and everything.
Oh my gosh. Yes, 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 yes. I've been to some of them where the Johorians are here, but they get all the pencak silat people to come and perform and stuff like that.
Tapi ni you have to go to Johor in the Ululu areas in Johor.
Yeah, yeah. I've been to one in Kuantan. Tapi tak ada silat lah, obviously, right? This was an experience of mine. It was quite interesting because we were back in college. So me, Izam, and a few other friends, we went over to our college technicians. We were very close to our college technician. So he invited us to our wedding.
College technician as in like the guy that fixes the
microphones and everything.
Oh shit.
Yeah, yeah. So we were very close to him because we used to work in the radio club. And then this guy would help us with all the stuff because he knows what to do and stuff like that, right? So he is the point guy. Right, so we managed to have a very good reputation with him. We would chill with him all the time. He was also treated very well by the college, lah.
Yeah.
And then he invited us to his wedding all during Kuantan. And now, let me tell you this, guys. Kuantan to me is a city.
Yeah.
Right. Kuantan is a town. Nice town. Right. Yeah. But what he didn't tell me was that his wedding was all the way in the ulu part of Kuantan. Like kind of like a hillside.
Inside, I know what you're talking about.
Inside
where.
Where you see the box sites and stuff like that, all the floors are red.
I know where, yeah.
Right? So we did not expect this at all.
Yeah.
And basically free sitting.
Free
sitting. And then we came in just in time when the Perarakan was there. Yeah. And then we were just like, where the fuck
the
do we?
The kompangs and everything.
Yeah. And then you are left with the question of, do we sit here or do we sit there? Where the fuck do we go? And then you have the chup table and then like, you know, go and ambil makan. Wow, that was like, those type of weddings is something that I want to bring Wanchi to, and I know 100% she will not enjoy it. And I just want her to experience it. Because I just want her to go. Why you got friends like this one? Why? I don't understand. All this stuff. Because, you know, she's never been to these kind of things before.
Yeah.
Typical city girl, it was never privileged to see all this stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right. I'm very lucky to be coming from a lower middle class family where
but
I get to experience this
also,
as well.
Also, something that I can tell the listeners, that Henry is an extremely down-to-earth person, and like he's a great guy to hang out with.
I am.
So it's easy for you to make friends with people.
It is, lah.
And
sense,
you don't pick and choose you don't pick and choose who you want to talk to, but eventually, like, if that person has like a horrible attitude, you would not want to be friends with them.
I phase out after a while.
Yeah.
I phase out after
but
a while.
The initial point of contact though, you're open.
Yeah, I am.
How you can make friends with every type of person.
Correct. And once he's a strong introvert, so like it's very hard for her to make friends, right?
Yeah.
It took her like probably 6 months to finally realize who Zeke and Haziq are. Because apparently their names are very similar.
Yeah.
Right? So that it is what it is. But yes,
our names are the same. It's just Zeke is like a nickname for Haziq.
Yes, correct.
So I'm Haziq, he's Haziq.
Yes. Okay. So wedding done.
Yep.
Here's the thing. We missed out on a lot of things that happened in the last month, obviously. I went to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to talk about it too much because I feel like it's already over. Mm-hmm. The moment's already over.
Mm-hmm.
Summary of what happened. No, don't fucking go in summer. Never think about going to Tokyo in summer. That's all I can
Panas.
Say. Panas. It's too hot. You think Malaysia is hot? Yo, you have not tried Japanese summer yet. Like, I'm assuming these people who listen to us are a mix of B40 and M40 people, which means that they might be able to afford to go to Japan in the future.
Yeah.
And I'm very sure there are a lot of fuckers who want to go to Japan.
Yeah.
Never go in summer.
Mm.
You can go in summer, but don't go to Tokyo. Don't go to the city centers because it's fucking hot. I made a mistake of going in summer.
Mm. No, Wanchi's parents made the mistake of going in summer.
We had a good time in Hokkaido.
Mm.
We really underestimated how the weather would be in Tokyo. And because there was no car, so obviously
we had
to walk a lot. We averaged 25,000 steps every
day. Wow.
Yeah, and I was walking with four
elderly people.
Yeah, who were like 59 to 60 year olds.
Oh, wow.
So I feel bad for them. So that was my bad on my part on in terms of like underestimating the trip in terms of Tokyo, because I know Tokyo from the, honestly speaking, I've been to Tokyo so much that I know Tokyo kind of.
Yeah.
So I knew where I wanted to bring them to. But because the weather was so bad, we just didn't manage to cover all of Tokyo, which left me really unsatisfied because I honestly told myself that this would be the last time I'll ever go to Tokyo for the next maybe 5 years.
Right.
It looks like I'm going back to Tokyo again next year. I really didn't feel like I had enough of Tokyo this time around because it was just too hot.
Yeah.
So I'm never going back to Tokyo in summer again. Somewhere else, like maybe Okinawa or like down south or like up north. Yes, but never in like, never again. And the best quote that I had in the whole trip was from Wanchi's dad. We were in Mount Fuji for a day trip. And we had to walk to the place, Chureto Pagoda, where you could see the whole view of Mount Fuji if you reach the peak. It's like a 400-step flight up to the peak to see. And the first thing that Wanchi's dad came over to me, he complained to me that Mount Fuji is not nice. And I went, "What do you mean? It's not nice. Mount Fuji not nice." I'm like, "Why, uncle? No snow cap." I'm like, "Brother, it's summer." "What the fuck do you expect, bro? It's hot. The snow cap melt lah." I don't understand this complaint.
"Don't you see the city below drowning?"
Yeah, like, I don't get it. Like, why are you complaining to the, like, what? Like, he really, you know, it's like, "Not nice one lah, come here for what? Yeah, no mount, the mountain no snow cap one." I'm just like, "Yo, uncle, you ask God to make snow cap for you now lah. Tomorrow, close your eye, the snow come with you." What the fuck? Even when she was just like, "What is my dad talking about?" She looked at me, she was like, I don't know. My father. I tak faham juga. So the whole time we were in Mount Fuji, we were just like, "Yo, I don't want to deal with this shit." Yeah.
They were complaining lah.
They were complaining. I mean, yes, I understand it was hot and stuff like that. But then the one big complaint was that when he said that the mountain had no snow caps and that therefore Mount Fuji is not nice because there's no snow cap, I was like, this is such a typical old man mentality where you just can't get what you want. You never tell, you don't know how to relay that information, and then all you have to do is complain when you were there.
Right.
Because you just wanted to prove a point.
Right.
But you never showed anybody what the point was.
Yeah.
And then you just left with an old man rambling about how there's no snow cap in the summer. It doesn't make sense to me. But for me, it was like, oh, I managed to see Mount Fuji without a snow cap. It's the first time, right?
Yeah.
So I saw it in a completely different angle. And this guy just comes over, "No snow cap also." "No snow cap also." I'm like, motherfuck, you want me? Okay. I create some kind of weird lens for you for your glasses where you can see a snow cap.
His glasses, though, you just draw white. And then, okay, this is the angle. Stay here. Oh, so nice. So nice.
Yeah.
Got snow.
That's probably like, okay, you must stand specifically just here. Don't move anywhere else. Don't turn your head around. Yeah. Just look there.
And then he's wearing his glasses, right? So okay, you stand here, uncle. I stand here. You just get a white tape marker and just like just draw in front of his face on his glasses.
Uncle, enough snow or not? Uncle, enough snow or not? You tell me now how much snow you want. Well, the whole mountain white. Good. Don't tell me there's no snow in Mount Fuji again.
What doing you?
Okay, anyways, Japan done.
Japan done.
Okay, then after that, we had the state elections for... Obviously, we have to talk about it. This happened last
Holy
week.
Holy shit.
There's a lot of things that happened over the month, guys. There's a lot of things that happened over the month. Then the biggest one was the state elections where 6 states in the country were voting.
I thought I was safe. Because my registration is in Johor. So Johor wasn't part of the state elections.
Nope.
But then my Adun passed away, what? Salahuddin.
Oh,
Salahuddin was the guy I voted for Pakatan Harapan.
How nice. Just like, all right, we voted for him. He's dead.
So he passed away. Like, he was a good guy. He's a good guy. It was a terrible tragedy.
Yeah.
It was a terrible tragedy. He passed away. But 9 September, I have to go back to Johor to vote. to replace him.
Do you know the new candidate for
PKR?
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not worried about Johor. Johor Johor now has become a Pakatan Harapan DAP state.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Solely because, honestly speaking, credits to Johor lah. You know, you guys have been rebellious, so you never follow status quo.
Yeah.
So that's the one good thing about you guys lah. It's not like fucking Kelantan, Kedah. You know, PAS gives you money and then you're like, oh, okay, PAS is good.
Good God, Terengganu has changed so much in like a day.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary. When I looked at the results, I was like, there's no way PAS won Terengganu.
So
by a landslide.
So last time, so Kelantan has always been a PAS led. State,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Terengganu, on the other hand, has been a Barisan-led state.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, this time around, it went to PN and PH, PN and PAS.
PAS, yes. Which is surprising to me. Which was a very big surprise. That took me by... Like, it really took me aback. Like, how... They're like, even though there were PN candidates, they're like, tak nak lah. Korang dengan pakatan lah, tak nak lah.
Yeah.
Right? Why are you working opposition and stuff like that, right? But... Yeah, it is what it is.
Barisan has always won Terengganu.
So basically, when we go to Tioman now, it's like cannot.
Okay. Here's the thing. I was having a conversation with my colleague. She's from Terengganu. She's Malay. She's from Terengganu. So I was talking to her, and she was like, "Oh, things are gonna get bad in Terengganu."
Oh, for sure.
Things are gonna get bad. Last time when it was Barisan led, but still had ties to PAS.
Yeah.
Like it was strict. Right, and you know the cinemas are divided into male, female, and married, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So it's gonna get even worse than that. So now now she anticipates that they're gonna crack down on Perhentian.
Oh yo, Perhentian, man.
They're gonna crack down on Perhentian, and then they're gonna revamp a lot of things.
Man,
to make it pass.
It's gonna turn into Pangko. It's gonna turn into Pangko, man. It's just going to be like dried fish everywhere.
Yeah. No conservation efforts, no humanitarian efforts.
Nope.
Basically, just religious efforts.
Port Dickson, Pangko, it's going to turn to that.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I have family in Pangko. Like, God bless you guys, like, you know, seriously. I hate the place.
Like, there's no, like, if you look at how PAS, like, governs their states, like, there's no, there for all the activities that they do for the state, the ones that are missing are conservation efforts, humanitarian efforts, like basically human rights efforts lah.
Surprisingly, agriculture is one thing. They still think about agriculture a little
bit. They still about agriculture because it provides income for the state.
Yes.
And right now, despite whatever you might think about PAS being like God-fearing or whatever, profit, income...
is so important.
For that personal gain is so important.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the personal gain thing that really kills me about the state, right?
So, itulah. So, that's what you can expect lah.
Okay, so let's do a quick brief summary of what the six states had, okay? Number one, we had rappers in Selangor.
Oh my God. And he won.
Thankfully, with Pakatan.
Yeah.
Fuck me, if he was with BN or PAS and he won, I'd be like, yo, what the fuck even? So, what's his first manifesto? We have to uphold rap music, bro.
God damn.
In the fucking parliament, right? In the state parliament. Okay, saya the manifesto. Yes, YB Ultimate.
YB Ultimate.
YB Ultimate. First of all, Alhamdulillah, saya dapat posting ni lah. Huh? First time saya masuk ke apa? But we could... Kita kena bawa rap balik. Kita kena bawa Too Fat balik. Eh, is it Too Fat? Tak.
Too Fat lah.
Too Fat lah kan?
Too Fat lah.
Kena cari Joe balik. Yeah. I kena member dengan Joe balik.
Malik lepak dekat bandar utama je.
Malik member I. Ampang bandar utama tak jauh.
Tak jauh. Dekat je.
Dekat je. So, we got to bring them back.
Yeah.
Right? Too Fat has to come back. So, I propose a rap manifesto.
So, dalam parlimen ni, siapa nak bentangkan isu apa-apa, kena rap.
Kena rap. Oh, imagine all the PKR people, all the Chinese ones, they're like, fuck, I have to rap.
Fuck, Lowie.
Shit, I cannot rap, man. My constituency wants me to do to talk about the environment. I beat Abby Lim for this, you know.
I beat Abby Lim for this.
Jamalia Jamaluddin.
Hey, she won.
She won.
Congratulations she won. To her. Yeah. She's the one we met at Vive.
Yes, she's the one that we met at Vive.
Doing her propaganda thing.
Propaganda thing via bot game. Which I think is a new platform to do politics. I agree.
She was on Reddit doing AMAs.
Yes.
Yeah. Because yes. I was in the AMAs where she was
which
doing
is really
it.
Interesting yeah. that, you know, someone as young as her, you know, managed to like tap yeah. into or leverage into something like this to make into a propaganda or like not propaganda la, it's more like it's a
promotion,
movement la, you know?
It's a marketing gimmick.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
And then after that, after Jamalia did her Reddit AMA, some guy from Muda did Reddit AMA. No one really gave a shit.
Of course. Okay. Second thing, Muda. Completely lost their deposits.
Completely lost.
All of them lost their deposits, which was great.
Mm.
Because when Moodle came in, they did only 18, which was a mixed reception.
Personally, for me, I am against it.
Yes. I'm not against it. Neither am I like for it, solely because, so you have to understand that I'm a centrist.
Yeah.
Right? And the perks of being a centrist is you sit on the fence and you just see what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
Right? Moodle took up too much that they bit off more than they could chew. Right? Undi 18 worked. However, what they didn't realize with Undi 18 was that they thought with Undi 18, Muda will be one of the front runners of the politics scene.
And I would like to say that I saw this coming. I told you so.
Because the problem is not about entrusting 18-year-olds to vote for us. No. It's not that. It's about how mature they are.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Back when I was 18, this is just being realistic. Back when I was 18, I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to do. I was a pro-BN supporter solely because I came out from National Service and I saw this propaganda.
Yeah.
It was so easy for me to get indoctrinated by all this propaganda solely because I was young.
18-year-olds, like for me, my original argument for Undi 18 and why I was against it was that, first of all, yes, I echo Henry's sentiments about what would an 18-year-old know.
Yeah.
Two, I knew that they would be influenced by their parents.
For sure.
And there were a lot more Malays supporting Barisan, supporting PAS.
Yes.
Right, in Malaysia right now.
Yeah.
And thus they would influence their kids to do that.
For sure. And also, like, you look at the social media right now, Perikatan won social media because they went on TikTok first.
Yeah.
And when they went on TikTok first, all these 18-year-olds who were there, or 17-year-olds going to 18-year-olds who were going to vote, they were straight away sold with Pakatan and Perikatan's fucking manifesto.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly.
That's all you needed to do.
Yeah.
Right? That's all you needed to do, and that's it. You lost.
Muda bit themselves in the ass. Like.
Oh my God, they did. And what, like, look, realistically in Malaysia, the political scene is very simple.
Mm.
Unless Tun M dies, nothing about the political scene will change because Tun M or whoever the old fucks who are in the office now, they're all still in power.
Yeah.
And these guys have been indoctrinated with all these weird manifestos or how they want to run the political scene for the last 20 to 30 years.
Did you hear about Barisan supporters asking for Zahid's head?
Yes.
And then Bung Mota coming to Zahid's defense?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was crazy.
That was crazy. And you know why? It's because of fucking Khairee Jamaluddin.
Yeah.
Khairee is out there like plotting Zahid's death, like for no death careers, death for like the longest time.
Yep.
You know it.
And personally for me, like, I'm not a big fan of Zahid either.
No, none of us are big fans of Zahid. I mean, you see how he ran the country for a while.
And I would implore that, like, Khairee Jamaluddin come back into politics.
But with UMNO?
No.
Because he's still going to be with UMNO.
But even though
he got kicked out.
That's the problem lah. But like, but here's me speaking, like, trying to rationalize the situation. If Khairee Jamaluddin came back to politics and took over UMNO, then yes, I would consider what his manifestos were.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he obviously he's competent.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He's competent,
rational.
One of the best ministers I've seen like in a long while.
And maybe if Khairee Jamaluddin comes back to Barisan, then he can turn things around.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. To wrap it up before we bring in somebody.
Yep.
One more thing that I want to take into this time's state elections is that they're giving trust to stupid people to come into power.
Oh yeah.
And this is not talking.
Why were they still pushing Rina Harun?
itu memang
Was it Rita Harian?
Yeah.
That did the whole like announcement that Rita Harun lost in the Doraemon voice.
Yeah. Oh, fucking amazing.
No, not the Doraemon voice, the Doraemon soundtrack.
That's the best. Pakatan won, but yep, by a slim victory.
Fucking slim,
which,
bro.
Which shows the reality of the situation where
Anwar is losing control of the country.
Anwar is losing control of the country. Not because of his... It's not because of his team's fault. Yeah. Everybody else in Pakatan is doing fucking well.
Yeah.
They're doing their jobs.
It's just that Pakatan National is putting more effort into turning sides, turning over people to their side.
Anwar is getting very desperate and he's not doing what he's supposed to do.
Mm.
In which I hope that, you know, if Anwar ever listens to this, obviously he doesn't, but if Wan Aziza does, maybe can talk some sense to Anwar and just say, just do a fucking
probably
job.
Probably Saiful does. And he'll tell...
Saiful!
Saiful!
Tell your boyfriend, huh? Tell your boyfriend to do his fucking job. Right? Just don't think about whatever is happening. Just do your job.
Yeah.
Right? Tak ada lah manifesto 100 hari ke apa ke. We are not doing that 100 day manifesto anymore. Fuck, we're giving you time. Right? We're giving you time. If Anwar wants a second term in the parliament, he better do his fucking job now.
Yeah.
And not worry about what competition is doing. Because if you're at the front and you worry about what the competition is doing at the back, too much.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a problem.
True.
Right? And this is turning into a problem now.
It disrupts your work to actually transforming the country.
Yeah. I mean, look, you still have majority in the parliament.
Yeah.
Right? Why are you so worried?
Yeah.
Right? Pembangkang can say what they want. Mm. Tapi pembangkang bodoh juga.
Yeah.
What? You fucking Bajo Bhaktia is gonna be in the fucking parliament. What you want? The guy, the brother came out from retired from football. Right? Retired from football. Thought, alamak, tak boleh coaching lah. Tak boleh coaching lah. So he thought like, oh, maybe I should go into politics because Sanusi said, you know, Sanusi was my ex-boss. Ex-boss gave me opportunity to work.
Sanusi satu lagi, my god.
So let me work lah. And then his quote of politics is just like football. Oh my god. Fucker! What you mean politics is like football?
Bro.
This is the parliament in Kedah, right? YB Badrul, tolong bentangkan strategi anda untuk area ini. Saya nak katakan, bola sepak ni sama je. Kalau kita guna taktik 5-3-2, kat area ini kita mesti menang.
5 tu siapa?
Sepat, YB. Sebab kalau kita tengok pembangkang kat area ini, mereka guna 4-3-3. Everybody's like, what the fuck is he talking about?
5 tu apa? 5 orang ke?
5 orang? Tak. 5 lah.
5 lah.
5 lah. What?
5-3-2 lah.
5-3-2 lah. Betul lah.
Betul lah.
Okay. Yeah, Bajo Bhaktia is a mistake lah, by the way. He won.
Yeah.
He won. Right? And that was
the fucking thing that I don't understand is Sanusi won, bro.
Yeah.
What the fuck, right?
How is he still winning?
And then the first shit that came out of his the first thing that came out was that you cannot disclose your ballot paper, right?
Yeah, he did, right?
He opened it up, he showed it to people.
I'm gonna lock my doors. Fuck! My car's being violated. bitch!
Who's the Chinese fucker behind?
We have people watching us, so they're not the friendliest people.
But yeah, Sanusi's incident was that after when he pangkah his balloting paper, he went to the window, he unfolded it, and then he showed it to the media who he voted for.
Yeah,
right, which was a no-no. It's illegal. That's illegal.
Yeah,
that's an illegal move.
How is his vote not rosak?
Yes, exactly. Then he put it in. Then one of the media asked, like, why did you let's talk about you showing the balloting paper.
Yeah.
You know, did you hear his response?
I did not hear his response.
His response was, oh, it was irresponsible reporting by the media. because he was apparently in his defense, while he was folding the balloting paper after he had marked it, the media shot the balloting paper. Right?
Isn't that what the fucking media is supposed to do?
Yes lah.
They're doing their job.
But obviously it wasn't. Obviously he went to the window and he unfolded his balloting paper and he showed it. So Sanusi was lying. Sanusi was flat out lying, saying that it was irresponsible reporting, when he himself was the one that showed the balloting paper to the media.
This is your country's politicians, guys.
Kedah. As long as I blatantly lie to you guys, you will eat it up.
Yeah, for sure. Because we don't want to say you're not educated lah, but you're not educated lah. Right? Korang bodoh. That's all I can say. I'm not saying the whole of Kedah is stupid, but the people who are voting for their constituency, you guys gotta think about it. You guys gotta think about it.
But fucking holy shit, dude.
Jesus Christ. Like, honestly speaking, this is the dumbest state elections I've ever seen. And it's not Selangor. Because Selangor, I know.
Selangor, KD.
Selangor got ultimate. Guys, watch this space, guys. Listen to this. We are the first to tell you guys, we are going to get a rap manifesto in the Selangor Parliament. I know this for sure. Why? Because you all voted for Ultimate Ampang. Ampang is going to turn into a hip-hop state.
Yeah,
Ampang is going to turn into a hip-hop state. Speaking of hip-hop, this fucker has not come into the show for a while now. We got someone in the car because we are out here in public. Alfred was just walking the streets for no reason.
What's up?
So everybody, welcome Alfred!
Alfred! Hey! Welcome back to the show, Alfred.
I feel like a prostitute now. I get picked up whenever and just join the podcast.
Yeah, here's the catch. You're for free.
Oh, shit.
How have you been, Alfred?
Oh, shit. I'm good.
Yeah.
How are you guys?
Good.
This is the podcast after a month that we've recorded our podcast.
Yeah, you know, I was just listening to our podcast the other day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, okay. And I think it's been a year, though.
It's been a year since I adopted Chiro. So that was the same time that so that was a year.
Alfred, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you know what War Thunder is?
What?
Okay, War Thunder is a plane flying game tau.
War Thunder.
Right, so it's basically a period game. Back in World War II, they have planes from World War I and stuff like that. So you pilot it and then you fight dog fights against other people. Right.
Okay.
Did you see the live version a few days ago?
Shit.
Oh, let's talk about it. Yes, let's talk about it. Okay.
Oh, shit.
Okay, guys. This is a bit of a too soon thing because this literally happened like a few days ago. But we had a plane crash in the town of Elmina in Shah Alam.
Yeah. 10 people passed away.
Unfortunately. Two out of the 10 were innocent bystanders, like really innocent bystanders. Yeah. Right? I feel so fucking bad for them.
Like you would have the worst luck as that person.
Oh yeah.
You were just riding your motorcycle on the Elmina Highway and suddenly a fucking plane lands on your head.
And then you got a dash cam footage of this guy who nearly died. Yeah. Right? Who nearly died. He was like literally moments away from disaster. But because he drove a little bit faster, he didn't get smashed by the plane.
Yeah.
Right? And then you got two guys, and these two guys who died were actually hired by Grab.
No, Foodpanda.
One is a Grab driver. Foodpanda.
One Foodpanda, one Grab.
Jeez. Damn.
Yeah, but I don't understand the township there. Because I went there to have a look at the place previously, and one of the area is literally below the flight path.
To the
Sultan Hassan Shah Airport.
The Subang Airport.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about like very high up. It's literally like you can see the plane
slowly landing.
Yes. That's how near it is to the house.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so I understand.
Yep.
But urban development in Malaysia has never been something that we can understand.
Yeah.
They just find a plot of land, build condominium.
You know, like what I envision when you see a new town planning, right? I feel like the town planner or the developer just takes the blueprint paper, wipes his ass with it, and like here's a new township.
But that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. There lah.
Yeah lah.
That's the one lah.
That's the spot.
What's this taugeh? That's the egress and ingress lah for the area. Ni carrot ni to multi-purpose hall. Sorry. Then he flicks it away as a roundabout.
Yang sotong ni, or that one is the new township phase 2.
Cik ni
makan tak kunyah ke? Semua kuah sebiji-sebiji ni.
Hey, don't judge my eating habits. I'm telling you, a new place to build your fucking shit in, man. Literally.
ni apa ni?
You wanna do the deal or not?
I lactose intolerant lah. Ni the new apa?
Yang tu sungai.
Sungai.
Yeah. I makan cheesecake lah. Lactose intolerant. Ni sungai baru lah.
You makan cheesecake, you lactose intolerant. What the fuck?
So yes, that is literally how all town planners plan the new townships.
Yes, because they got money.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and,
it is.
And bad IBS.
Bad IBS. So you're telling me every town planner in the world,
yeah,
or in Malaysia in particular, they have very strong IBS lah.
Except the guy who developed Desa Park City, that was quite good.
That was not bad.
He ate a lot of fiber.
This guy had a lot of roughage in the system. but yes, it was a tragedy. I like how we transitioned that. Yeah, it was very sad. Nobody knows what the fuck happened. Like, yeah. No, literally no one knows.
There was a Pahang Exco, right? Inside.
It was a Pahang Exco. Mm. It was his team. It was his team. So the state of Pahang came up and said, like, we will bear the cost of this whole thing.
Conspiracy time.
Lie.
This is the same shit that happened
77 years
to Jamaluddin Jayjays and his team.
Oh my god.
The helicopter crash.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So, why is it that whenever there's a helicopter crash lah, there's a plane that goes missing lah, helicopter plane that like explodes or shit like that, there's always like someone of authority inside. JJ used to be the American ambassador to Malaysia.
Yep.
Right? Then now Exco Pahang, and then on flight MH370 was like a bunch of like decision makers for big industries.
I don't have my tinfoil hat with me, so I can't really explain to you right now. I don't have the weight.
But if it's true that this is a conspiracy, then killing people quite easy, oh?
Very easy. Yeah. All you just have to do is just get a suicidal pilot.
Yeah.
Right?
And then no one will investigate further into why they were there.
It was just an accident.
So the next phase, like phasing out, putting people into barrels.
No more already.
So now just like blowing up their planes.
Because it's too easy.
Yeah.
It's too easy. You say something wrong and then someone just comes to you and says, like, go in a barrel and you die, just die.
Yeah.
Like, it's too easy. It's too easy.
Rosma should have just like put that girl.
Oh, Atatuya?
Atatuya on a plane and just crashed it.
Crashed it, yeah. No one will fucking ask a question because it's a tragedy.
Exactly.
It's a tragedy. The car bombing is not a tragedy. Car bombing is a fucking planned crime.
Yeah.
I think. So guys, if you want to get away with murder, you just need to put someone on the plane.
Who would you like to murder?
It could be anything.
Anything, anyone.
A character, not a person.
Why would I want to kill anyone?
Good answer. Good answer.
That's a trick question. Yeah.
Good answer.
Hello, FBI. Yeah. This is not me.
Sorry, guys. We couldn't get him.
Yeah. Good answer.
Anyways, Alfred, you didn't have to vote.
Yes.
So
aku orang Melaka, bro.
Yeah. Melaka already voted.
Aku orang Melaka.
Yeah.
Who won the Melaka elections previously? PM kan?
I think Pakatan won.
Oh, Pakatan won.
Yeah. But it's kind of weird. Like everybody's had their okay. So you know all this whole voting thing and how your finger gets like into Thanos' ass.
Yeah.
And then you get like discounts, right?
Yeah.
For like certain food chains and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was at A&W with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then you see everybody showing the finger. And then that's me. I was like, I have nothing. Then everybody was looking at me.
It's not fair that this
It's not fair. It's not my fault. It's not that I don't want to vote. Belaka tak ada, bodoh. Belaka dah over.
Call the state constituency, right? Call Melaka one. Kenapa kamu tak buat undi pilihan raya kali ini? Sebab kita dah buat undian tahun lepas. Buat lagi lah. Saya mau dapat A&W free.
Saya tak mau orang judge saya. Saya tak mau FOMO.
You tahu tak? Saya duduk Selangor. Semua orang suruh undi. Saya tak dapat benda free.
Yeah.
Dia tengok saya, dia orang gelak sebab saya tak ada undi. Apa macam?
Apa macam? That you flip Adam.
Salah siapa? Salah siapa?
Should have just like had a t-shirt on.
Selangor ada.
Selahi orang Melaka. I should just print my IC and put the address
shit.
There.
Okay, so Melaka done. Everyone voting done.
Yep.
Plane crash done.
That's pretty much.
What? Sanusi, hopefully he'll be done soon.
I don't think so lah. He's got another good 5 years lah. You know, cause he got Badrul Bakia.
Yeah.
Dia captain parlimen ini. Kita guna strategi 4-3-3. we're just about to wrap up the podcast. But I obviously I think Alfred, we need to bring him back again because we've not done him in a while. Okay, so obviously this last part, since Alfred is here, you're not that frequent on TikTok anymore. We introduced you as someone who was from TikTok.
Yes.
But now we introduce you as someone who is a friend to the podcast.
Correct.
So now we can't title you properly anymore.
That's a level up.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you mean you can't title me? Am I not your friend?
I am. You are. Okay, so what happened with TikTok? Like what made you stop?
Priorities has changed, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Burnt out.
Yeah, I guess so. But I'll be back soon.
You
hear it here, folks.
Yeah. What happened? Why made you go on a break?
I don't know. I just feel like I've been doing it a while, then I thought like let me reevaluate my life.
What was it that made you go like, fuck, I gotta reevaluate? Was it like a sponsored post, or was it like things that you were doing at that one point on TikTok?
Yeah, so I was doing like a series of videos for a brand. Mm. And then, you know, like how people always say, after you do like in character, you feel like you're
that character.
Yeah.
Oh, you're losing yourself lah.
It's like you're faking it.
You're Heath Ledger lah. You're about to snort coke and die lah.
No, not to that extent lah. But you know like how people say like sometimes you are into it and then sometimes you have to live up to that kind of. But it became very tiring and it felt like this is not me.
Okay.
Yeah.
He had an existential crisis for a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, and I can confirm that it's real. You know, like people always say, oh, you're just faking it for attention, but it's actually real. Like, I actually do feel it. So. That's why the break, but I'll be back.
So are you planning to do any more characters, or are you just gonna come out as Alfred?
I'll be your dad.
Oh, don't lah, my dad's a boring person.
Call him daddy, Henry.
I don't want.
I refuse to
acknowledge Alfred as my father.
I haven't given a thought, but I had like a few videos in mind already.
Uh-huh.
But it's gonna be like mainly like complaints lah.
Do you feel like you will ever stop TikTok?
Not, I mean, to stop TikTok, not really, but to think to, how to say, like I sort of see TikTok into my life now, like
you can't get out of it.
Like I've always like make jokes with people.
Okay.
And I want to translate that into TikTok.
Okay.
So I'm gonna turn that kind of thing into my main content now, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. So Alfred's coming back to TikTok.
Yay.
I don't know how to
first
feel
video. Why credit card people always like to ask weird questions?
Hey, what questions do I don't know lah, because I'm Malay, so no one stops me for credit card because they assume that my secrets now rating is low.
Yeah. It's like you need to get the credit card.
You know how like people, okay, so how testers usually do in supermarket when they ask you want to try a product. Can you try?
Yeah.
But imagine this credit card dude just came out to me. Hey sir, you want to try this credit card? I'm like thinking, how the fuck do I try this credit card? If I'm not happy, can I refund?
You pay. I have to pay annual fee, you know.
Yeah, but
processing fee, everything.
It's like,
eh.
You try. I'm like, if I try, I don't like how. Who's going to pay the money?
It's a good question, you know. That's a good question. Right. That, honestly speaking, right, all these people who are out in like, I feel for them, right? Mm. They have to slave away in their weekends to just look for people to get commission and stuff like that, right? But fuck you all.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
it's,
like,
it's your fucking problem that you all cannot present properly.
Choose proper words, man.
Yeah.
Don't say you try. Nak cuba tak? Cuba.
Cuba apa? Credit card.
Siapa bayar nanti? Hey.
You cuba dulu. If your loan score tu tak, if you get blacklisted, don't let us know lah. It doesn't make sense. I have been approached. I have been so frustrated with UOB people because they're the ones that have the most kiosks out now. Because Citibank is no longer with Citibank is no longer here anymore. It's with UOB now, right? Yes. So everyone's trying to push UOB because Citibank users are going to UOB. So I'm signed up with UOB already, right? It's my own decision. I didn't make my decision with some fucker from Iwan Utama going, brother, you want to buy a credit card? Right? No, I didn't. It's my own decision.
You want to buy a credit card?
You want to try the credit card?
Try.
Right? So I didn't. It's my own decision, okay? I want to be proud of that. Just letting you know that none of these fuckers from the swapping walls got a commission from me.
Yeah.
Because fuck them.
Yeah.
Right? The reason why they're there is because their presentation skills are terrible.
Yeah.
Right? So I got my UOB credit card, everything, and I'm using it now.
Yep.
Right? But somehow, by some weird reason, because I'm Chinese, right, these guys want to approach me. Especially from UOB, because it's like, China, UOB, eh? Singapore, correct. Must get. This guy must have career aspirations in Singapore because he wants to earn 3 times more.
Correct.
Right? Stay in JB, drive past the causeway to work in Singapore. Right? Because he's boring like that. He's a Chinese.
Correct.
Right? So he comes over, right? And he goes, brother, want to try a credit card or not? UOB one credit card got very good discount. Well, you know what's the fucking good perks? Well, you know what's the perks? Fucking travel back. Okay, I can buy one myself, right? So I got I then I'm like, okay, I said no first time, no, right? I walk away, go back to the same place again. Somehow doesn't recognize me.
Right, it's like they're blind.
Yeah, somehow this fucker doesn't recognize me. Right, comes back to me and goes, brother, want to try credit card or not? I said no. Right, in my head I'm just like, I'm very sure you've seen me before, like, like half an hour ago. There's no way your attention span is that low, right? Then I walk away. Then I come back. He's asked me again, brother, how? Want to try credit card or not? I got so frustrated. Mm-hmm. I took my wallet out. I flashed my UOB card in front of him and said, what you want now?
Fuck yeah.
I signed up already.
I want you to try the other card, sir.
Fuck!
Try lah, sir. Try any.
And that's how murder cases in shopping malls happen. People don't just suddenly drop off the building. It's because these guys are fucking credit card salespeople.
Oh my god.
Okay, and I think that's a very good way to end the podcast today. We'll try to get back to consistency, but fuck you all lah, you know. If Alfred can stop TikTok for a while, we can also come whenever you want.
Correct. And then you swallow.
No?
Hey, it's your daddy, eh?
Follow us on our socials. We are on TikTok, we are on Instagram, we are on Facebook. Send us your suggestions because we've not done it in a while, so we're going to do some checking before we go back to normal programming. And with that, we'll say bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Dad.
Hi, welcome to the Don't Know That podcast. If you're listening to this, don't forget to like and subscribe to us on a YouTube channel that we have not created yet. When you find this voice note with this soothing voice in the sound of rain, which has not come and arrived yet because Mother Nature is being a bitch, you can sit down and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your favorite podcasting platforms, whether it be Breaker, whether it be Overcast, whether it be Radio Public. If you want to drop us suggestions, we are a fully interactive show, though we don't interact with you face to face. We would like you to send us your weirdly specific questions, your weird opinions, your weird suggestions to us at our social media platforms at Don't Know That Podcast on both Facebook and Instagram. Our Facebook page is dying, because nobody uses Facebook anymore except for old people, and we're trying to reach out to the younger audience. Because of that, you can give us a like on Facebook as pity. And if you do like us on Instagram, you can like us, like our videos, like the highlights that comes out every day, or not every day, but 2 to 3 days, depending on how lazy Henry is on that week. Just have fun. We've also put in a link tree where you can find our forms made from Google Forms. Thank you, Google. You can also find us there. You can put in anything. You can ask us anything. You can tell us anything. You can give us an opinion about anything. Just put it there, because we desperately need people to keep our show alive. We're dying here. We're trying to make money. Why are you not giving us money? Please, for the love of God, just give me money. We need money to survive. We don't want to work our day jobs anymore. Hazik has a cat to feed. His name is also Henry.